Hallelujah. It is a good opportunity to share with you tonight, to stand here and to bring forth the Word of God. And it is our distinct pleasure to do that. And so we believe that we will be able to share something tonight that will be of a blessing to you. Help us to grow. Help us to move forward. How many of you would like to move forward in the plan of God?
Amen.
Amen. And so, you know, we say it this way sometimes, you know, today is not a life sentence with God. Today is not a life sentence with God. God wants you to move on up. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, move on up. And so you might want to tell him again, because some people need to hear it more than once. Hallelujah. Move on up. And so tonight I want to just share some things with you. I hope to get to where I plan to be and so forth. And so Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, we'll begin there tonight. Ephesians 4:16, I'm going to read that out of the New Living Translation. And it simply says this: He, that is speaking of Christ, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. And I'd like to say that together. Healthy, and growing, and full of love. You know, that is the goal, or that is the plan that God has for the church, for the whole body of Christ, that we would be healthy and growing and full of love. Let's say that together, because that's just so tremendous. I mean, I'm telling you, that's a place to be right there. Let's say it again: healthy and growing and full of love. And so tonight I want to just share along some lines that might help us to get to the place of being healthy and growing and full of love. And so I've been watching a number of things going back. There were times when I traveled, I was I'd travel and you get back and flip the television on to see if there's, a show or something. And you come across these infomercials and these advertisements that just portray something that you absolutely need. I mean, I'm telling you, you listen to them, you wonder how you lived life before, without one of those things, whatever it is. How many of you noticed that? And so, I mean, they will just... tell you this, that look, you got to have this. This is the one thing that you need. You will be greatly successful, and you will be totally happy if you have this thing. This is a miracle worker. This is something that'll transform your life. It'll put you in a whole different dimension. And so you go get that. You ever notice somehow many times those things don't work like they did on the show? I don't mean that bad. I'm just telling you, either we're not as accomplished as they are in using it, or else. Anyway. Anybody ever been there? And you know what the funny thing is? You can turn the television on. The next time you turn it on, there's somebody there selling something else, and they'll tell you the same thing. Man, you can't get along without this. You need this. This is going to take you to a whole new level. This is going to make you so happy. It'll make you greatly successful. It'll transform your life. I mean, just how many of you know what I'm saying? And sometimes I just lean over to my wife and I said, I don't know how in the world you cook without that. Of course, you know, she is a phenomenal cook. Actually, we don't eat out much because she cooks better than the restaurants do, I'll tell you that. And so, you know, it's a joke, you know. You don't joke about the things that aren't good, you know. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, and so I just noticed that, you know, some person emphasizes one thing, and another person emphasizes you need this, and this person emphasizes you need that, and this is, and the fact is, they almost use exclusive language. Do you understand what I mean by that? Exclusive language. Now, they don't tell you this, that in the midst of everything else you need, you probably need this. That's not how they sell it, is it? No, they say, this is the one thing. You don't need anything else. You know what I'm saying? And I've seen some of this go on in the body of Christ. I don't mean that bad. I'm just saying people are doing a good job. You know, so you got denominations that emphasize certain things. I mean, that's what their denomination's all about. And, you know, if you do it their way, you know, I mean, you're surely on a higher spiritual plane, you know. And then you listen to different preachers and ministers, and you hear this minister emphasize this, and you hear another minister emphasize that, and then most of them are very gracious in the sense that they realize they're one voice among many. But once in a while, you'll get somebody that just doesn't realize that, and they start using some exclusive language. This is the one thing you need to be a successful Christian. If you start doing this, you're going to be happy the rest of your life. And I want to tell you, listen to me. I want to talk to you tonight about the body of Christ working together. And so I just see that this is happening sometimes. And sometimes it makes you wonder, well, I don't have that what they're talking about. I guess I'm just not much. You get that feeling sometimes on some people, you know, when you listen to some people. But I want to tell you something tonight. That Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Let's look at that. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. We can listen to New King James Version. And we'll read down through verse 8. And it says this: having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. That explains a lot of things right there. We're not the same. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not the same as me. And so let us use them. He goes on and says, let us use them, those gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so we see then that we are members in the body of Christ, and yet we have differing gifts. We have different gifts. And so one of the things that I noticed is this, that we all tend to view whatever we're looking at from the perspective of the gifts that we have. Do you see what I'm saying? The giftings that we have. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through, let's go there. And so we tend to view the way that God wants to move and what he wants to do in the way that God created us in Christ. In other words, with the giftings that Christ has put within us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, now these are the gifts God, Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. And so verse 13, then this will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of doctrine. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing up in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy. Say it with me, healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that something? And so let me just say this to you. In verse 11, it mentions five different ministry gifts, leadership gifts that he is putting in the body of Christ. And let me just say it this way, that each one of those gifts will see, view the body of Christ from their perspective. And so each one is necessary. I'll say it that way. Each one is necessary. Each one is necessary. They each bring a supply of the Spirit of God and the revelation of the Word that we all need. They have giftings that benefit the body of Christ. We need all of them. Amen? And so I will say this, though, that the apostle will tend to emphasize certain things. The prophet will emphasize maybe some other things. The evangelist will certainly emphasize, you know, what they're gifted in. The pastor will bring forth that which is necessary for the body of Christ, especially the flock that they're in charge of. And then you have the teacher who will emphasize, you know, the Word of God. One of the things that happens sometimes when I was traveling, we'd come to a church and it wasn't doing real well. And so the pastor would ask me, you know, some questions, and the conversation would go kind of like this. You know, I've just been trying to get this church to grow, and it's just not going well. And you know, I just don't know what to do. And so one of the first questions I typically ask those pastors that came to me was, who are you listening to? Because I'm looking for something. And so most of the time, I'll tell you this, they were listening to somebody, some other ministry gift that wasn't a pastor. And so I told him, I said, well, there's your problem right there. I said, you need a pastoral role model is what you need. You need to start listening to somebody, some pastor that's got some more wisdom than you do, more knowledge than you do, more anointing than you do, has a greater work than you do, and so forth. And I said, you'll find it'll make a difference in your life. And he said, yeah, but you know, he said, so-and-so is anointed. I said, yeah, but I said, they're not a pastor. I said, you want to know what to do? I said, there's no doubt that pastor, that other person is blessing your life. But I said, you can't pastor a church like they run their ministry. You really can't. And so I just said this to him. I said, don't go to the apostle and ask how to run a church. He'll tell you to start a new one. I said, don't go to the prophet and ask him how to run the church. I said, he'll tell you them all to repent. I said, don't tell the evangelist. Don't ask the evangelist how to run your church. I said, he's going to tell you to go out and win souls. Just forget those are in there. Just go out and win souls. You know? And I said, don't go ask the teacher how to run the church. I said, he'll tell you what's the word say. Now, all of those are valid perspectives, and they fit together when it all works together. But I want to tell you something. There is a pastoral perspective that's absolutely necessary. And I think in the body of Christ, often unappreciated. Often unrecognized. We tend to elevate some other types of ministry higher than we do the pastoral office. And yet, I'll just tell you this, that as far as I can tell, from what the pastoral office entails, it actually has a greater scope or view of the body of Christ and what the body of Christ needs than probably almost all the other ones together because all the others are specializing. The pastoral office is a general practitioner that takes care of everything. They do a little bit of all the rest. And so I'm just saying this to you tonight, that they're going to emphasize different things. Do you understand what I mean? And so just don't write any of them off. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying you got to know where it all fits together so that it can work together. You understand what I'm saying by that? And so we tend to view the way God wants to move and what he wants to do in the way God created us in Christ. In other words, according to the deposit and giftings that God has put within us. How many of you have ever, I'll give you an example. How many of you have ever been in a service and you heard a missionary talk about the, and they're very passionate about the work that they're doing and everything. How many of you, at the end of that service, you were almost ready to go to the mission field right there just because you listened to them? I dare say there'd be a whole lot more people on the mission field if they all went right after a service like that. You know why? Because we were listening to the man minister according to the giftings that he had. Now, how many of you know, not everybody's called to go to the mission field. Isn't that right? Some are called to go. Some are called to support. And some, you have to find your place in that. Isn't that right? But you have to understand that that man, many times a missionary, I'm just using a missionary as an example because some of the other different ones that minister, they'll do the same thing. They are presenting what they're presenting in almost such a way that it almost makes you feel like if you don't do what they're doing, you're backslid. You know what I'm saying? And it's not necessarily that they're doing a bad job. It's the Spirit of God moving upon us and showing us some things, enlarging us, helping us understand the need and the value of the work that they're doing. Otherwise, I'll just tell you the truth about it, there'd be a whole lot less people supporting missions. You know what I'm saying? And so I like to say it this way. I like to try to find, I may not necessarily be like the other person, but I like to try to find something good. And something that will benefit me and help me in the place that God's called me to be. Can you see that? And I believe that's what we ought to do. I tell you, sometimes I used to be this way. I used to be this way. Somebody make one wrong statement, I just wrote you off. You know, I started singing, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. You know what I'm saying? Kind of thing. I didn't sing it out loud, you know, but I thought the thought. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. I know none of you are, you're all more spiritual than that. I know none of you have never, ever had a difficulty with somebody else in the body of Christ, right? Yeah, let's all look up at the ceiling so everybody knows, you know, we're not. Do you know what I'm saying? But so how many of you, you know, the truth is we probably all have difficulty with somebody in the body of Christ. In other words, it was saying, where in the world are they coming from? And or you know, I didn't appreciate the way they ministered. Or I didn't appreciate the way they did that. I didn't appreciate what they said. Blah, on and on it goes. If we're not careful, we'll follow the devil's trap. And you know what happens after that? You will not be healthy and you will not be growing. You will not be full of love. You know what I'm saying? I know this is... How many of you would rather have a Holy Spirit message tonight? Well, we are having one. It's just along a certain vein. Do you understand what I mean? But sometimes, now listen to me, I'll tell you this, the truth about it, and that is this, if we'd start learning to appreciate each other more and the different giftings in the body of Christ, we'd have a greater move of the Spirit. I'll tell you the truth about it, we'd be able to receive more from God. Amen. Isn't that right? And so I just want to, this is kind of one of those messages, kind of helps set us up for some of the things that God has for us coming down the road here. Amen. Now, the difficulty arises, you know, and I know some people get a little difficult sometimes, especially when they get locked into a certain thing, and then they think everybody else ought to do it the same way. That gets a little difficult, because you're wrong if you don't do it the way they say. You know, that's how it comes. And you know, so there comes some challenges in that. And so how many of you know it's easy to walk in love when somebody's nice to you? And when they treat you right and respond to you in a nice way, and it's easy to walk in love. The challenge comes when somebody's not so nice to us, or somebody lets us know that, you know, they don't think, you know, you're valuable, or they don't think you're this, or they don't think that, you know, about you. In Ephesians 4:16, again, it says, as each part does its own special work. Did you know you have a special work to do in the body of Christ? Do you have a special assignment? You do. And so let me tell you something. We ought to endeavor to recognize the special assignment that each person has. Recognize the special work that each one has. Why? Because it puts us in a position to flow in the body of Christ in a greater way. And to be a greater blessing in the body of Christ. Because you see, here's the thing. Now listen to this. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. In other words, when you do your work and you realize that you're valuable in the body of Christ and you're doing a good work, you may not be in front, you may not be in the back, but you may be somewhere in the middle. You may be noticed, you may be unnoticed, you may be recognized, you may be unrecognized. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. If you do your special work and you do what God told you to do and you find your place in the body, let me tell you something. You're making a difference where you're at. You're making a difference to the one on the left and the one on the right. And I think that if we become a little more conscious of the one on the left and the one on the right, and we're all part of the body. Do you know what I'm saying? And instead of trying to be an individual, we're part of the body. We are individuals in the body, but let me tell you something. Listen to me. My individual efforts ought not be outside of what the body is working together on. Do you see what I'm saying? And so I'm just encouraging you tonight that we view our assignment, to begin to view your assignment, yes, by who Christ is in you, but then also appreciate what's in the others. God may have told you to go to the mission field, and that's good. But you ought to appreciate the ones that stay home. And the ones of you that stay home, you ought to appreciate the ones that go. Do you know what I'm saying? Let me tell you this. The ministers ought to appreciate the people who aren't in the ministry, as far as, you know, I'm talking pulpit ministry. And the ones who aren't in pulpit ministry ought to appreciate the ones that are in the pulpit ministry. On and on it could go. You know what I'm saying? Senior members in the body of Christ ought to make sure that they appreciate the children's ministry. And those in the children's ministry and the youth ministry ought to make sure that they appreciate the seniors. Come on now, don't get quiet on me right now. You ought to just be shouting an amen and glory to God. I'm surprised nobody's running yet. I know Jeremiah over there is holding himself down. All right, but let's move on just a little bit. We need a greater appreciation for one another and what each person does. I sometimes I just have to go back to Jesus. How many of you ever have to just go back to Jesus? Now look, I got to have a right picture about this. Jesus is our example of how the body of Christ ought to operate. And you know, the Bible says in Luke and John chapter 3, verse 34, it says that God gave him the Spirit without measure, which means this, that he was able to function in all situations and he had the anointing of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, and teacher. All he had all five of those anointings, and he said this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." One of the things that you can read when you see John 3:34, where it says that he had the Spirit without measure, it would imply that we as individuals have the Spirit with measure. Isn't that right? And so, but we could say it this way, that the whole body has the Spirit without measure, the body collectively. Amen? And so we need to see this then, that what Jesus did is the example for the whole body. No matter what part you play, Jesus is our example. Isn't that right? One of the things that I noticed about Jesus is that he didn't always do the same thing every time. He didn't have a pat answer for everybody's problem. In other words, sometimes he just taught the word. He just said, listen to this. And he started teaching them, didn't he? And then other times he just moved right into the power of God, ministered by the power of God, laid hands on them or ministered in some way by the Spirit of God. And it was a move of the Spirit and it happened. And other times he would listen to them and then he'd tell them, instruct them to give. Don't get quiet on me right now, but he instructed them to give. Why? He knew they needed to sow some seed. He needed to know they needed to. Make Jesus Lord over their finances. Amen. And then there's some other times. There's some other times he would exhort the people to grow up. You see what I'm saying? And then other times he'd just simply tell people, you need to obey. Obey. Do this. Just do this. Isn't that right? And so Jesus didn't always say the same thing every time. He'd emphasize this, he'd emphasize that. But he didn't do it exclusively, meaning this is the only way. This is the one thing you need. This is the one thing you need to make yourself successful and happy. No. What was it? You know, it's one of the things that I learned about Christianity and growing up as a person following God. There are a number of things that I have to pay attention to in my life. How about you? You found out there's more than one thing, isn't there? And so sometimes we look for shortcuts and sometimes people promise certain things and it really doesn't work like they said. When we try to operate it exclusively, exclusive from all other things. And so we need to recognize this. Listen to me. Yes, when I listen to somebody, even me tonight, you know, you might say this about, well, Brother Marvin shared one aspect, didn't he? Do you see what I'm saying? And so that's one of the things. Learn to when you're listening to something, where does this fit? How does this fit in with everything else? I mean, even just as simple as studying your Bible, you realize this. That seldom is the whole truth contained in one scripture. And so that's one of the things we teach in Bible interpretation. And so that's why you need to look at more than one scripture, don't you? That's why you need to have different scriptures. In other words, and then here's the other thing you got to do with your Bible study. Once you studied a certain subject, then you also have to figure out how does that relate to the other subjects. Because you don't take one subject and make it exclusive from all the rest and say, now this is the one thing you need. And that'll be your answer. That's your one guarantee for success. No, friend, listen to me. It's when we look into the Word of God, rightly divide the Word of God, embrace the different scriptures and everything, different subjects, fit them together. Let me tell you something. We can become a whole lot better at what we're doing. Okay, and so I'm gonna move forward. So accomplishing what God wants done in the earth takes people doing different things. Can you see that? And so one person may emphasize this and another person may emphasize another thing, but I want to tell you something. Listen to me. I'll tell you the truth about it. We learn to appreciate one another. I won't read 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 21, but you can read it. Paul compared the body of Christ to the human body, and he said there's one body, but there's many members. And the different members have different things that they do. And he said this, he said one part can't do what the other part does. And then he went on and painted a picture. Wouldn't it be something if the nose said, not that I'm paraphrasing, he said if the eye said of the nose, we have no need of you. Do you know what I'm saying? How would it be if you were if one part of your human body decided to be exclusive from the rest and just tried to function on its own? Wouldn't work well, would it? No, but here's, let me paint this picture to you. Let me paint this picture to you, and that is this, that we ought to learn to listen to the Spirit of God and instructing us in what the work that we're to do in our place in the body and how it fits together with the body and be a blessing. Amen? Amen. In the same way, listen to me, we ought to be led by the Spirit and listen to what and allow God to place us in the body as it pleases him in the same way that the brain sends messages to all the other parts of the human body and tells it what to do. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, if you move your arm out like just like that, well, your mind sent a message for that to work because there's different parts involved. It's not just your hand that went out there. Do you see what I'm saying? But there's the wrist, the arm, the elbow, the shoulder, and there's some other things that involved. I don't know it all that well, but let me tell you, the body has to work together just to get the job done, just to function, to do the things that God's called us to do. And so I like to say it this way, five things that the Spirit of God will tell the members in the body of Christ to do, just to show you the diversity of what God can wants done. Sometimes God will tell you that you need to know the truth. In other words, you need knowledge. You need to know the truth. Everybody say, know the truth. Isn't that right? And so sometimes the problem we have is that we just simply don't have enough knowledge. So we need to know the truth. Another thing, sometimes God will tell us you need to sow a seed. Number one, know the truth. Number two, sow a seed. How many of you know that we need to be involved in sowing and reaping? How many of you know you're involved in sowing and reaping whether you think you are or not? Because that is the granddaddy principle of almost all principles in the kingdom. And so it is connected somehow. And that is this, that I am, you know, did you know, let me tell you something. Even if you've decided not to give tithes and offerings in the church or give any of your money, did you know you're still involved in sowing and reaping? Because you sow little and you reap little. I don't mean that bad. I'm just telling you the truth. You're still involved in it. So you choose your level of involvement in that. Do you know what I'm saying? And so I just want to encourage you with that. Sow a seed sometime. Did you know that God knows who needs to sow a seed and who needs to receive a blessing? You know, sometimes I need to sow a seed. He knows. Okay? If I had time, I'd tell you a story about that, but we've got to move on. And then sometimes God tells you to just flow with the Spirit. Just flow with the Spirit. In other words, just get in the move of God. Just get into a Holy Ghost service someplace and just flow with the Spirit and you'll come out different. And I've seen that happen. I've had it happen to me. How many of you have had that happen to you? Problem is that some people like to have all their problems solved by that. Just that one thing. But it doesn't work that way, does it? You don't get everything. You don't accomplish everything. You don't become everything that God wants you to be just doing one thing. Here's another thing. Sometimes we need to grow up a little bit. So number one, we have know the truth. Number two, sow a seed. Number three, flow with the Spirit. Number four, grow up a little into maturity. Grow up into maturity. There are some things that as babes in Christ that God does not give to us because we are not able to handle it yet. I know some people don't like that. But I'm going to give you a classic example. How many of you know the whole complete plan of God for the rest of your life in complete detail? You don't, do you? You know what? You know most of the reason why is because if you knew everything, you wouldn't. It'd scare you. Some people have some. I'll just tell you the truth about it. There's some things that people, God's going to ask some people to do that are much bigger than the place where they're at right now. And if he just unloaded everything, you know, it would just not be so good. But let me tell you something. Grow up. Some people say, well, I want this blessing, I want that blessing. Well, sometimes you got to learn to grow up. You got to grow up a little bit so you can handle it. Oh, this is good preaching tonight. I just think I'll help myself a little bit here. Glory to God. I almost talked myself into a running spell right there. And then finally, here's another thing. Go do what God said to do. Sometimes you just need to obey. Obedience brings the blessings of God. Jesus told the 5,000, sit down. Then he blessed the bread and multiplied it. I wonder what would have happened if they refused to sit down. But they obeyed and they got the blessing, didn't they? So number one, know the truth. Number two, sow a seed. Number three, flow with the Spirit and power. Number four, grow up into maturity. Number five, go do what God said to do. Now, that, let me tell you, I just gave you five. There's a whole lot more. There's a number of things. There's a number of things that you need to do. You need to do. I didn't give you a complete list. I just gave you five. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's why you got your Bible. You got different scriptures telling you to do different things. And so you learn to balance them all together. Isn't that right? And so let's learn to appreciate one another. Let's appreciate one another more. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, let's make effort to appreciate the ones that are different than us. It's easy to appreciate the ones that are like us. Do you know what I'm saying? Let's appreciate one another. Let's stretch out. Let's give the benefit of the doubt to people in the body of Christ. You see somebody say, I don't know why in the world they're doing it that way. My God, don't they know this other way would be better? Just remember, you're speaking out of the deposit, out of the giftings that God's put inside of you. Do you see what I'm saying? And so you need to bless them and pray God help them. Isn't that right? And so instead of passing judgment, here's what we do. We believe God together. Amen. Let's learn to be more led by the Spirit. Let's get our direction so that we can be in a place where we can do our own, the special work that God's assigned to us. And then we will help others grow. Let me give you a clue. If what you're doing is not helping other people grow, you're probably not in your place. You know what I'm saying? And so I want to be in a blessing, don't you? How many of you want to be a blessing? Let's stand up. And we just want to thank God for that. I just want you to do one thing with me before we go, and that is this. Just lift your hands up to the Lord and just thank him for your place in the body of Christ. Let's just do that. Let's at least put value on the place where we are in the name of Jesus. And then just as you've got your hands lifted up, thanking God for the place that God's called you to be, where you're to function and what God, the special work that God's called you to do, then just begin to thank God for the one on the left and the one on the right of you in the name of Jesus. Just begin to bless them. Just begin to thank them. They may be different. They may look at it different. They may do it different. They may emphasize certain things differently than you do. They may speak one message this way. Another person may say something else. Another person may be greatly gifted in an area that you don't have anything in. But let's just learn to appreciate all of that. Let's just bless them, pray for them. Father, we do thank you for them right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the body of Christ and for every member in it. We thank you that we are able to be a blessing. Able to be a blessing as we do the work that you've given us to do, that our special work that you've assigned us to do will be a blessing to those around us, and we thank you for it. While we're in the attitude like this, just bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes just for a moment, and I want to pray. I'm going to ask this question. I don't want anybody looking around. Just ushers, don't look around or anything either. I just want to ask this question. I know this by the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God quickened it to me over here in the beginning of the service. He said, pray for those who are having difficulty with somebody else in the body of Christ. So if you're here tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed, and you're having difficulty with somebody else in the body of Christ, I want you to just slip up your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come down here. I'm just going to tell you, it's hands all over. Hands all over. I'm just telling you right now. Listen to me. Let's be honest about it. Because you see, those are the kind of things that keep us from being healthy, growing, and being full of love. Being the Christian that we ought to be. Father, we do pray for those people as they lift their hands, they lifted their hands, Father. They come to you, Father. They're your people. Bless them. Help them. In the name of Jesus, I pray for your grace to be upon them, that they may be able to receive what you have for them and appreciate others in the name of Jesus. We loose the power of God upon them. We loose the ability of God upon them, your grace upon them, your love upon them in the name of Jesus, that they may be able to forgive, that they may be able to move on past these difficulties in the name of Jesus. And that, Father God, that they may be the people that you want them to be, healthy, growing, and full of love. We thank you now, Father. Holy Spirit, minister to each one right now. Touch them in a mighty way. Oh. Let them know, Holy Spirit, that they're special to you. But others are special too, even if they are different. And so we thank you. Even the ones that don't treat us right. I'm asking, praying especially for those that are dealing with people who've not been treated right by others in the body. And I'm praying, Father, I thank you. Touch their lives right now. Help them in their thought life. Help them in their emotions. Because, Father, I know this about your people. Their heart is right. They want to do right. They want to be people that are healthy and growing and full of love and appreciating the body and being led by your Spirit and being everything that you called them to be. Touch their lives in a mighty way. Help them in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We thank you for listening, being here tonight. The prayer team can come. And if you need prayer for anything, we've got the men on this side, and the ladies will be on this side. They'll pray for you. If you've got needs for anything, just want to encourage you. As far as I know, Wednesday night, Hour of Power, I believe Pastor Hagin is going to be here this week, and so on Wednesday night. So come expecting to hear a good word from him. I trust that you got something out of this tonight that'll help you, that'll strengthen you. And so just go again, let's say it together, being healthy, growing, and full of love. Amen. All right. First time guest, I want you to get that gift that has been prepared for you. And so connection team, if you will find those guests and take them to the West Lobby to get that gift, that'd be a great thing to do right now. Let's give our guests a big, great big hand. Amen. Bless them. We appreciate you being here tonight. Glory to God. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Shake hands with somebody else that you haven't shook hands with tonight and just let them know that you appreciate them. Amen.